it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
20 minutes away from getting back into the big story of the day, which is everybody won this weekend. Falcons won last night. Georgia beat Tennessee. Georgia Tech beat Clemson. The Dream won their first game of their playoff series against Indiana, so they're one win away from advancing in the playoffs. Even the Braves avoided sweep yesterday. The Braves won yesterday, too, so everybody won coming in on Monday on a victory Monday. So we'll get back into all of that, obviously spend as much time as we can on the Falcons, on Georgia, and on Georgia Tech in the 1 o'clock hour. But the phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. The floor is yours to sound off on what went on with the Falcons yesterday. And I'll say this, and I get it. Last week we opened the phone lines at 12:40 and had full phone lines before we went to break.
Oh yeah.
This week the Falcons won and we come back from break and there's only one person on hold. Do we not know how to be happy?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I'm pretty happy. I don't know.
I'm happy.
I feel pretty good about
the win. Hell yeah, it feels good that they didn't win.
Yeah. Well, we'll start with the one. We got one. It's all you need, I guess. Keaton is in Atlanta. Hey, Keaton.
Yo.
Hi, Keaton.
Hey guys. I want to apologize. I ain't got much of a voice. I was at the Georgia Tech Clemson game this last weekend, and I blew my vocal cords out when I went down there on the field and put that goalpost down and celebrated on the field.
Nice.
But I did notice I was keeping up with Mike Bell's tweets while I was watching the game last night, and he said something that I thought was funny and kind of true. I don't want to be a negative Nancy. I'm happy we won. The rookies look great. Michael Penix did his thing. More importantly, Bijan Robinson did his thing. But it seemed really one-dimensional all football game last night. Mike Bell said that Zach Robinson might be the stump of the Sean McVay football tree. I don't know how y'all feel about that. I'm trying to see that playbook get opened up a little bit more. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know Bijan Robinson is a monster. He's a menace. He cuts left. He cuts right. He breaks ankles. But man, it makes me wonder, does he trust our guys on the offense to get it done outside of just running the ball? And I'd love to hear what y'all have to say about that.
Okay, Keaton, thoughts on Zach Robinson's play calling?
I don't have a problem with it. I think that it's always something that's overblown if it's not working the way it's supposed to be. It just didn't work. But I don't think there's anything against – I don't have anything against him like most others. You know, I don't react to other people's opinions. And tweets.
Yeah, I'm sure Mike will detail his thoughts in about an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, he'll detail it. But, you know, you still have a young quarterback, too, you know. And I know a lot of people get into the whole under center pistol crap, which irritates me. But you remember you were with me last week. I texted one of my former coach who is a OC, explained to me about it and the advantages of the pistol and all those different things. But, no, I don't believe that you don't not trust anybody on offense. If you're running the freaking ball, run the freaking ball.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like I thought last week they could, that last week was not Zach Robinson's fault. They couldn't run the ball, period. But they threw, I thought the passing game was great. This week they ran the hell out of the ball because they didn't play against a defensive line like they played last week. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I ain't ready to go there.
No, I mean, I thought the passing game and even like the play calling regarding the passing game in week one was really great. The run couldn't get going. And like you said, I mean, there's always a lot of different reasons for that. Run game worked yesterday, man. They were averaging 5.6 yards per carry. You're supposed to keep running it.
Exactly.
Now, their red zone inefficiency is something to look at for sure.
Right.
I don't know why do they bog down when they get down close to the end zone. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. Obviously you put play calling on it. Is the play calling being executed right? I mean, there's so many more things that go into a play than what people obviously see, you know? And I think a lot of times, and me and Dave talk about this all the time, like being able to run the ball in the red zone helps.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps. That gives you different dynamics. It gives you a shorter field, a shorter down distance. And, you know, so I think that when you look at it from that standpoint, I'm not saying that Zach Robinson's called a perfect game because I do not believe that. But I don't think holding these guys back is something that I would say.
No, I haven't. No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely wouldn't say that.
Penix pretty well trusts everybody that he throws the football to.
Right.
And look, I mean, he only threw the ball 21 times yesterday. That's half as many times as he threw it in week one.
Right.
That's good.
That's what he wanted.
The reason that he did that was because the run game was working so well.
Exactly.
And they were able to do what they wanted until they got to the red zone. And unfortunately, it bogged down a bit. And they're going to obviously have to improve that if they're going to win games against better teams as the season goes on. I mean, if there's anything that jumps out as like, what was going on? It was that first drive when they looked completely disorganized.
Right.
And you couldn't hear them, and they're getting to the line. They have to call a timeout. They had to delay a game. It was a disaster.
Yes, it was awful.
That's tough to start the game like that.
It was embarrassing.
I don't know whose fault that is or who you point the finger in terms of blame.
It's an embarrassing situation.
That was bad.
Yeah, it's an embarrassing situation to be driving, need a timeout, then come back from the timeout and have a damn delay a game. That was embarrassing. That is unacceptable. And an embarrassing thing for an NFL team to do, period. Hell, college football, you have a timeout, then you come back, and then you have a delay game?
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do that. That's just that is awful. That is awful, but yet it did come to bite you in the ass because you end up winning the game.
Luckily.
Yeah. Yes.
There was definitely – we weren't alone thinking early in the game. It's like two field goals and a turnover on those drives. Huh?
Right.
Good as they're playing.
Yeah.
As good as the defense is doing, getting the Vikings off the field – 6-0 feels like it could be a lot better than that. 6-0 Luckily, it didn't come back to bite him because JJ McCarthy played terrible and the Falcons made him play terrible. So ultimately, it was okay. But yeah, look, I mean, that's the good part about winning games like this is it's a lot more comfortable to talk about the things that need to get cleaned up when you win 22-6 than when you miss a field goal at the end that would have put it to overtime and you want to talk about silver linings. No one wants to talk about silver linings. It's a lot more fun to nitpick when the final score was what it was. All right, Kevin's in Snellville. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good.
All right, good. Like, when I look at the game last night, I mean, it's some positives to come with it. I mean, you went against Brian Flores, who's, like, undefeated against second-year quarterbacks.
Yep.
And we scored 22 points. You know, I mean, it was tough. Don't get me wrong, like, you know, the score and stuff like that. But, I mean, like I said, we was going against a tough defense at home. Crowd was rocking. And we didn't even have a preseason. It's basically our second game with these guys. You know, these guys getting live-action football pretty much. Mooney, this is his first game back. You know what I'm saying? So I look at it and I'm like, bro, we won 22-6. I mean, I'm clapping my hands like, okay, I think it's going to get better before it gets worse.
Right. I agree with that.
I mean, that's just the way I'm looking at it.
You should. I think that, you know, a lot of times you overthink and win sometimes. Like, but it should have been more than that. Yeah. But you won the damn game.
Yeah. 22-6.
Yeah. But you won the damn game. That's the most important damn thing. Because it's all about that, especially when you're coming off of a situation where you lost the previous week. To go up and win them, and it was not clean whatsoever. So I come sit up here and try to say, don't think about what didn't happen because they need to score more touchdowns. But you went up there in a hostile environment and got a convincing win, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And the reason you did that was because of the way that the defense played.
Yeah, they put their ass off.
The offense was moving the ball until they got to the red zone, and then unfortunately getting field goals on those drives. At least they were getting field goals, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
5 of 5 from the field goal kicker, which, again, is nothing to sneeze at given where we're coming from and what a lot of the conversation was last week, a week ago today. They had to replace the guy. So we'll take that as well. I think we said this in the first segment, or at least we talked about it before the show. Last night's very much a game that in the past the Falcons have lost.
Yes.
And they didn't lose the game in large part because the run game was working so well and the defense was getting off the field. So, yeah, obviously there's a lot of things to clean up, but nice to get a win in the process.
Yeah.
Dexter is in Covington. Hey, Dexter.
What's up, guys? What's up? What's up, people?
Hey, how are you, Dexter?
Hey, man. I'm good.
Good.
Me, personally, I'm going to take the win.
Yeah.
We could easily be 0-2. You know, Minnesota were hype, you know, coming off that win last week, you know, with J.J., but we put that thing on J.J. on that defense.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
but, yeah, 6 sacks, we put that thing on him. But anyway, we got a kicker, did his job. A win is a win. We won and won.
Yep.
The offense ain't going to do nothing but get better, man. Defense, them young guys, they going to eat. And I think we're going to roll, man. I think we're going to roll. Y'all guys have a good day.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dexter.
Appreciate it, Dexter. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you still got – I mean, you're going in – I'm. They won the game. I know there's going to be a lot more of the red zone, which it should be because they got to get better, and we understand that part about it. But I'm not going to play all this like, oh, but, yeah, I can't. No, they won the damn game, mm-hmm. You know, and they can get better. Just like Dexter was saying, they can get better at that. You know, who's to blame for what happened in the red zone? Everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can talk about play calling, but what – and that's what I always say, it's more to it than just the play call. How was it executed? I'd said this before. I saw Michael Penn. I thought Michael could have just stayed with something a little bit longer instead of just throwing the check down a couple times. So there's gonna be so many different situations, but the one thing you got to do is continue to work at it. You know, they got to have an extra – if you got to have an extra red zone period this week, you got to score touchdowns in this damn football league when you're down there. Most teams, the best teams, they do that. The other best teams, they keep you out of the end zone and out of the red zone. And I mean, sorry. They keep you out of the end zone. They keep making field goals. They let Minnesota off the hook like three or four times last night.
Definitely. And that's the main thing, I think, in terms of that you want to get fixed coming out of the game. Again, like for me, looking at what they looked like week one and then what they looked like last night, there was some very specific stuff that you wanted to see improve from week one to week two that did.
Yes.
If the run game looks anything like it did last night, they're going to win a lot of games.
They're going to win a lot of games.
If they – now, look, you're not going to get six sacks every single Sunday. We understand that.
You can get two.
But you get a couple. Yeah. You get a couple. Yeah. And I have no reason to believe with the way that these guys look and the rotation that they're using, like they're bringing a ton of bodies that are effective.
Yes.
Like there's no reason to think they can't get two or three.
No.
You know?
It's not.
If they do that, then you're going to win a lot of games. Like – last night's game had a lot of ingredients that this team has wanted and has been looking for years.
Yes.
Now, obviously, it had some things that you want to fix too. But I don't have a ton of doubts about what they're going to be able to do in the passing game as the season goes on.
No, because you think about I thought it was a good day passing last game. This game, it just wasn't because they were running the ball the way they were. And what was Minnesota doing to take away some of those shots? They were playing up out of there. So that's why Mike had to take the more shorter routes. Thought he's doing a great job of taking the slants and those things like that. And those big plays will eventually open things up. They have not hit a big pass play yet.
No, they haven't.
You know, because teams are not allowing them to probably do it.
Right.
So once they start being a problem with the short intermediate, that brings – and then it's also the matchup. It's also the scheme that you play against.
Yeah.
Like,
I also think your number one and number two receivers last night were not
banged up.
They were not at full whatever you want to call it. Like Drake's dealing with the shoulder. You could see it.
Yes.
You could see it in his play last night. He gutted through it and was okay, but wasn't what he normally is. And Mooney, first game he played all year. I mean, it was only second game, but you know what I mean. Like, he missed a ton of preseason and looked rusty from that, too. So, I don't know. I think a lot of this stuff's explainable. Jacob is in Buford. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, what's going on? I just want to give a shout out to Terry Fontenot. The rookie class popped last night.
Yes,
I mean, from James Pierce to Jalen Walker, Xavier Wise, Bowman, they look great. Ruka Roro, you know, I know he
made a play
the year before. He looked good. I mean, I said they're the best young team in football. They looked like it last night. Big shout out to my Falcons. Please clean up the red zone so we can have an outstanding season this year. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it, Jacob. That's another one of the headlines, too, is that all four draft picks did something last night. Like, each of the defensive backs had an interception, and each of the pass rushers had a sack.
Yes, and then think about
that's
that.
That's pretty good.
Then think about what my man was just talking about. With Rook. Rook was basically a rookie this year.
Pretty much.
Brandon
Dorless, same thing.
A rookie this year.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're thinking all these young players that they drafted the past 2 years, all of them contributed.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were putting pressure on the and this is a group, and I know it's the second week. And so me and where you rank team stats in two games is just funny to me. Like, it's really funny to me. But at the same time, those five or six guys who we said coming to this season had to contribute to this team.
Yeah.
All did.
Yeah, new faces were the whole identity
all
of the defense.
Yes.
Yeah, and Harrison's been here, and he had some nice moments last night. Onyemata's been here, played good last night. But even free agent signings, like Leonard Floyd had a good game last night. Devon Diablo's been fantastic through
awesome.
2 weeks. Like,
he's been awesome.
That's why it was so hard to analyze what you thought the defense was going to be coming into this year, because it was all rookies and free agents.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then A.J. Terrell, Jesse Bates, you know, everybody was new.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A good one last night. A good one.
That was a nice win, man.
They made the young quarterback look young.
It was a nice win. And that's the most important thing you can do. That's usually what Flo does.
Because here's the other side. Like, we've made some young quarterbacks look good.
Hell yeah, we have. They made a guy look good, and he got there on Thursday.
Josh Dobbs beat the Falcons 2 years ago, and he played for him for 45 minutes with the same coach.
Yes.
So, yeah, let's, 22-6 is a good final score.
Yeah.
You would have told me that before the game yesterday. I would have signed on the dotted line right then. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Obviously, back into what the Falcons were able to do against the Vikings, Georgia, and Georgia Tech with really fun wins on Saturday as well. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.